Around Australia on ABC Radio, internationally on Radio Australia and streaming live online from the PM website. This is PM. In Washington, President Obama's new commander in Afghanistan, General David Petraeus, goes before the Senate Armed Service Committee tomorrow to be grilled about the prospects of the US and their allies in defeating the Taliban. General Petraeus is taking over from General Stanley McChrystal, who was fired after an article in Rolling Stone magazine revealed a series of remarkable indiscretions by the general and members of his inner circle. It's another difficult moment for the so-called Obama surge, with military operations on the ground in Afghanistan having distinctly mixed success at the moment. David Kilcullen is a former Australian military officer who became a close associate of General Petraeus's and a member of his personal staff in Iraq. He's got a new book out on his lifetime speciality, Counterinsurgency. On the line from Washington, he told me first about the reaction to the sacking of General McChrystal.
Most of the military people that I've spoken to in the Pentagon, the Joint Staff, various other places, and forward in Afghanistan since that time have all agreed that, you know, it was the only decision the president could make.
What is a general as senior and as experienced as that doing allowing trash talk in front of a reporter?
Well, that's one issue, and I think it's pretty clear that the staff were acting as if they were off the record. There's been a lot of discussion here in the States about whether, in fact, they were ambushed by the freelance journalist working for Rolling Stone, and there's been some suggestion that they were never given the opportunity to fact-check some of the stuff that they had said.
That is disputed, of course.
Well, yeah, and the second point that I was going to make is, well, great, but so what? Like, even if you shouldn't be saying that stuff in front of a journalist, even if you think you're off the record, and without wanting to compare, because it's a different environment, but I was on General Petraeus's personal staff in Iraq. Never in a million years would we have said stuff like that to each other, even if there wasn't a media person in the room, and let alone in front of a reporter. I think it was an interesting team dynamic issue, as well as the issue of media relations that we're looking at here.
Does it say anything about the strategy and tactics? Does it say anything about putting somebody who was essentially a special forces guy in charge?
I'm not sure is the short answer to that. General McChrystal and I worked reasonably closely over the last year in Afghanistan. I was a consultant to NATO, and I think that he understands counterinsurgency much better than most conventional generals. He really did have a deep understanding of what needed to be done. He had a very good relationship with the relevant Afghans. He understood how to fight the war, but his difficulty was in communicating that to the 40-odd nations in the mission in such a way that the troops on the ground understood it. And in fact, the bit in the article which I think is most telling is the discussion between McChrystal and some troops on the ground in the field who just aren't convinced that the rules of engagement are working and aren't convinced that the mission's working.
They want permission to kill more people.
Well, I think the troops' frustration comes about from concern that they don't have the situational awareness to distinguish good guys from bad guys, and they feel they've been artificially limited from protecting themselves. Now, in point of fact, that's not the policy, and McChrystal's been very clear about that on numerous occasions, but explaining and training and learning how to do it in a slightly different way are very different from just saying what the policy is. And I think that's the sort of lost in translation aspect of this.
There's real substance in the article as well, though. It's not just about media relations. In particular, I'm thinking about the revelations in it about the relations with Karzai and the idea, for instance, that Karzai was napping and wouldn't be disturbed at the beginning of a very important operation which he had to sign off on.
This gets back to the issues in the campaign. And I think President Karzai's behaviour all through this year and the Pakistanis' behaviour this year has been very heavily influenced by the President's speech last December, in which he laid out a timeline and said that we would commence pulling back from Afghanistan around the middle of next year. And almost immediately that statement was made, people in Afghanistan, from the President down, President Karzai down, started hedging and covering their bases. That was around the time that President Karzai first put peace feelers out to the Taliban. He talked about rejoining the Taliban. He started criticizing the international community and criticizing the United States. He fired the two most competent members of his cabinet, who also both happened to be completely unacceptable to the Taliban as negotiating partners. So I think you can understand Karzai's behavior throughout this year as the rational actions of a man who thinks we're leaving and thinks he has a limited amount of time to make a deal and is desperate to get to a point where he can deal with the Taliban before it's too late. And in the case of the Kandahar offensive, McChrystal goes over there to wake him up and get him to take responsibility for a military invasion of the Taliban heartland, which also happens to be his hometown, where his brother lives, and he doesn't want to take responsibility for it. So the guy, quote-unquote, can't be woken from his nap. I don't think the problem is President Karzai's sleeping habits. The problem is we've put him in a position where he can't back us as he might want to because he feels like we're leaving.
What's the alternative, though, for an American president? Isn't it just giving an open-ended commitment, which the electorate will interpret as we're staying forever?
You can look at the handling of that timeline in a number of different ways. And, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a deadline. You must definitely have a deadline in your own mind. But it's communicating that deadline in a very public way to everybody that has created this kind of problem. Now, we've walked back from it by saying it's conditions-based and it's only going to be a small withdrawal and it depends on the situation on the ground, all those sorts of things. But unfortunately, Afghans didn't hear that. And I was in Afghanistan when the speech was made and they certainly heard it as we have 18 months before the Americans leave. And what it reminded them of was the Gorbachev period in the Soviet-Afghan war, where he gave the same amount of time, 18 months, to General Gromov to win the war. Otherwise, the Russians were going to leave. And, of course, that was the bloodiest period of the Soviet-Afghan war. So people responded to it in a different way in Afghanistan from other places.
So we can see that there's a real crisis to be dealt with. The man now given the task of dealing with that crisis is General Petraeus. You know him very well. You've worked very closely with him. How is he likely to be able to take it on in a way that's different, better than General McChrystal?
Firstly, I think he's very, very good at communicating to a wide variety of people how to do this stuff properly. And that was one of his great strengths in Iraq, that he was able to take a, again, fairly diverse multinational force and have them all singing from the same sheet of music about how to do the operations very, very quickly. You might shorthand that as the ability to stamp his personality on the force. The second factor is that in Iraq in particular, and also in his job as CENTCOM commander, Petraeus has been extremely good at the political level, and in particular at working closely with governments like the Iraqi government to force them to take the action they need to take in order to stabilize the environment. A lot of the instability in Afghanistan arises from Afghan government behavior. And one of the problems in our conduct of the war to date has been this unwillingness to hold the Afghan government's feet to the fire and say, no, this abuse and corruption has to stop, otherwise we won't be able to stabilize the country. In Iraq, General Petraeus, again, it's not widely known, but actually General Odierno did most of the maneuvering of forces on the ground. He was the corps commander under General Petraeus. Petraeus spent hours every night in conversation with Maliki, the president of Iraq, essentially bullying, cajoling, persuading, convincing him to do everything that had to be done to make it work. I'm hoping that he's going to take a similar close engagement approach with President Karzai, and I think that could make a big difference.
David Kilcullen, an advisor to NATO, whose new book is simply called Counterinsurgency. There's a longer version of that interview on our website from this evening, including more on the future of the surge and the near inevitability of negotiating with the Taliban.